Job chapter 1, would you stand for the reading of the Word? Praise the Lord. Our text is verse number 18 and 19. But prior to that, I want to remind you about how Job was an upright man, feared God, eschewed evil, is perfect. Heard some people of late in other circles make the statement that never was but one perfect man, and they crucified him. They're in error. The Bible says this man was perfect, and they didn't crucify him. Praise the Lord. He was perfect, but there were born unto him some sons, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And those sons and daughters would have a party. They'd have a feast in their house. They'd eat and drink. Job was concerned about that, so he would get up early. He would make atonement for them. He would sacrifice for them. Well, there come a day after Satan had counseled with God about taking the hedge out from around Job. He was after Job. He didn't like somebody that issued evil. He was after him, and after God had gave Satan leadway to touch his belongings, that his sons and daughters were feasting on one of their days. And then during that feast, something happened, and that's what we want to read about in verse number 18 and 19. Prior to that, everything that Job had, his camels, his oxen, and all that had been taken away by various enemies that had come upon them. But now this is not an enemy riding upon horses. This is a violent wind that has come. And verse number 18 reads like this. Talking about the servant that had told him about the camels being carried away. While he's even speaking, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." One interpreter says that that word young men there basically means the young people that were there. And they are dead. "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house." There he lost that was so dear and precious to him. That could have brought him comfort over the other things he lost. It's lost. The Lord help me tonight. I want to preach on the crushing wind of compromise. The word compromise means agree by yielding. As a verb, as a noun, it means agree by settlement. You understand Job's character. He was one that was perfect. He was one that was upright. He was one that feared God. He was one that eschewed evil. Job, a patriarch of old, before Jesus ever came, there was found a man that was perfect and upright and eschewed evil. Before Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, before he got up to heaven and he prayed the Father that he would send another comforter, he would not just be with us, but he would be in us. There we find a man that is upright. There we find a man that is fearing God, that is eschewing evil, that is perfect. Us on this side of the cross, on this side of the empty tomb, on this side of the upper room, you know, the Holy Ghost should make and create perfect men, upright men, men that fear God, men that eschew evil. I believe it'd be a testimony against us today if we wasn't living the kind of testimony that Job had, because we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Job having such a character and such a demeanor about him, such a witness, such a character about him. Satan presents himself to God when the sons of God came, and God inquires of Satan, "What you been up to?" He said, "I've been roaming to and fro all over the earth." He said, in other words, "I'm trying to find somebody that I can tear down, trying to find somebody that I can destroy, trying to find somebody that is upright that I can make downright, trying to find somebody that would compromise and turn and run from God and disown God and say that it's not worth living for God." He said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him?" And so he said, "Well, you've got a hedge around him. I tell you what, God," is what Satan said. He said, "He don't serve you because he really loves you. He serves you because you gave him all these crops. He serves you because you gave him all these animals, all these blessings you gave him." He said, "I'll tell you what, you take all of that from him. He won't serve you. He just won't serve you at all." So God said, "Go ahead, but don't touch his life. Go ahead." You wonder tonight why I'd call this the wind of compromise. You see what Satan's desire was and what he wanted to do with Job. The same thing he wants to do with you and I tonight. He desired to weaken Job's faith. The only way he could get Job's faith in God to be weakened would to get him to compromise, to get him to agree by yielding. You see, Job said, flat-footed by his actions and by his deeds and by his testimony, and not just by his lips, but he said, "I believe God." And for him to believe anything else would be a yielding from that he had stood upon in his life. You understand that what Satan wanted Job to do was to compromise. He desired to cause him to curse God. He desired to have that hedge removed away from around Job so that he could get his clammy hands upon this servant of God. So he began to do his work. He began to put it in these people's hearts and send them over that way. And send the Sabaeans, and they fell upon all the oxen while they were plowing. And they slew the servants with the edge of the sword. He thought, "This will make Job compromise. This will get Job to turn around. This will get Job to doubt God. Surely he's sitting in ease in his home. Surely he's sitting in a place of contentment. Surely he's sitting in a comfort zone. But I'll take his oxen away from him, and he'll yield his belief. He'll yield his faith that is in God. He'll yield from that God has put inside of him." Then it wouldn't long, he began to on down there in the next scripture. Another one came and said, "The fire of God is fallen, and it's burned up the sheep, and the servants have consumed them. Surely this will get him to settle by yielding and not be so confident that God is who he says he is." While he was yet speaking, "I'm only alone." Then in verse 17, another came and said, "The Chaldeans made out of three bands and fell upon camels and have carried them away. Yea, have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am alive to tell thee." He's trying to get Job to compromise. He's trying to get Job to yield. He's trying to get Job to say, "It's no use. God is not as good to me as I thought he was. God is not as great as I thought he was. Maybe I was wrong to put my faith in God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." So Satan's desire was to get Job to compromise, and he tried these things. But then he reaches down into that part of Job's heart that has not yet been touched. That part of Job's heart that has not yet been touched. And the Bible says, while that man was speaking, another man came. And he told him the story. And he gave him the outline of what happened. He said, a great wind from the wilderness has come, and it has smote the four corners of the house, and it has fell down upon the young people, and it has killed every one of them that is in the house. A storm, a wind, has to be a very strange wind to tear down, to hit all four corners at once. If it's a great east wind, it come on the east side of the building. If it'd been a great west wind, it come from the west side of the building. If it's south or north, but this wind come on all four corners, because apparently Satan could see the demeanor of Job. He could see when he heard the news about the oxen, it didn't seem to flinch his faith. He could see that when he heard the news about the camels, it didn't seem to flinch his faith. He could see that it looks like everything I'm doing is coming to a fail. I'm going to have to reach down into his heart. I'm going to have to take that away. That he rises early to pray for. I'm going to have to take that away from him that is dearest to his heart. And so he sent this great wind. Somebody said, does God send the tornado, or does the devil send the tornado? I'll tell you who sent this one. It was the devil. Oh no, the devil don't have power. The devil is on a leash tonight, and he was on a leash then. And God said, you can do what you want to do, but don't take his life. So while he's on that leash, getting as far out and close to Job as he possibly could, he caused a wind to come out of the wilderness. That wilderness was a dry and desert land, and it had plenty of room to build up speed and to come to that house and to hit all four corners at one time and to destroy everything living inside of that. That's the wind of compromise tonight will do the same. He'll come out of the wilderness of sin. He'll come out of the wilderness of Satan's tactics and the wiles of the devil. And it's only coming by to destroy what God has built up in the church. It's only coming by to destroy that that God has done in our lives tonight. The raging, the crumbling, the crushing wind of compromise. How in the spiritually whim tonight can we prevent the wind of compromise from crushing our house, from crushing our tabernacle? We'll have to take a look at what Jesus said. He said that that man that builds his house upon the sand, when the winds come and the rains come, that house will not stand because it was not built on a solid foundation. But tonight, if we build our house upon the Word of God, upon a solid foundation, when the wind of compromise begins to blow, we won't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but we'll be settled and square-footed and look the devil right in the eye and say, I've got my mind made up. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to turn. I'm not going to be crushed by the wind of compromise. Hallelujah. But the crushing wind of compromise has a 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me tell you about that. You know what the Bible says? That in the last days, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see, the compromise is yielding. Compromise is what Satan wanted Job to do, to yield from that he believed. He believed God. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He was perfect. He is upright. Satan says, I'll get him to compromise. I'll get him to yield. Oh, but he failed to do that. You read the whole story. You'll find that he stood flat on God's Word. He said, I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary meat. He said that God's Word is more important to me than that can of beans I could eat. God's Word is more important to me than all that I could eat and bring into this body in natural food. That's the reason Job was able to stand. That's the reason Job was able to be victorious. That's the reason when the spiritual wind of compromise blew against Job's spiritual house, it did not tremble. It did not move and it did not fall. But we've given an example of how the wind so easily crushed this house where his children were. And that wind so easily can crush the house where you're living in the spiritual realm tonight if you're not built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and founded upon His holy, unadulterated Word. Now wind, He said in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know that wind is another word for spirit. Wind represents Spirit. I can see, according to the apostle here, looking through the eons of the future, and it's the Holy Ghost is directing him and giving him unction to write. He's saying there's coming a time in the latter times that many shall depart the faith. Many shall walk away from the faith. Many shall hang their harps on a willow. Many shall keep their harps by their side, but not have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, because in that time that's coming, they will give heed to seducing spirits. What he said was, there is a wind that's going to be blowing in the latter times. I hope you're hearing me tonight. He said there's going to be a wind that is going to be blowing in the latter times. It's not a raging loud wind. It's not a horrible twister we might see with the natural eye. It's a cool breeze of blowing. It's a soft breeze of blowing. But I promise you tonight, it's got power enough to hit all four corners of that tabernacle that you live in. And we don't get too old for the wind of compromise to hit us and destroy the four corners of our house. Listen to me, children of God. I said you don't get too old to be hit by the wind of compromise. You don't get too smart in reading the Word of God to get hit from the wind of compromise. You don't get too many Sunday school pins of being faithful to Sunday school to prevent you from being struck by the wind of compromise, that seducing spirit that's coming in our day, that is already in our day, and is coming through the wilderness. It's coming from the wilderness of Satan's wiles and Satan's tactics and Satan's power source, because it liked nothing better than to tear down the old landmark. It liked nothing better than to tear down the work that God has done in your lives and hit you on all four corners and destroy everything that is inside of you. The crushing wind of compromise. This wind came to destroy. Look at Job. What he did there in verse number 5. In verse number 5, I'd like to read it to you. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually, day after day after day. Job would sanctify them. when they have their feast, the wind came to destroy that which was sanctified. The wind comes today to destroy that was sanctified. Didn't the Apostle Paul write in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, "Wherefore, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of holiness," perfecting holiness. And am I missing something, Brother Jasper? "Wherefore, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." I believe that sanctification is the definite second work of grace. I believe that we can come to an altar and the blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify us, purify us, as the Baptist man said, glorify us. Amen. Set us apart from this world. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. If that don't happen, there's no way that I can adhere to this scripture I just quoted. I've got to have that blood applied. I've got to have that source of strength. I've got to have that source of power. I've got to have that work of God in my life. I look at it this way. Amen. God gives us the first bath. It's up to us to take the everyday bath after that. Glory to God. I said God gives me the first bath in His blood and sanctifies me and sets me apart. But from here on out, it's up to me to keep going to that bathtub and turning that hot water on and getting that blood of Jesus Christ and allowing it to be applied to my life day after day after day as I grow in the grace of God. Amen. But sanctify. Those things that were sanctified, that's the devil's target tonight. He'd like to take those things that you sanctified in your life, those things that you set apart. He was after that. Amen. That was his last straw. He saw the beast destroying them didn't work. He saw in the early years destroying the buildings of the church of God. It didn't work. He saw burning and exploding their cars. Didn't work. He saw that throwing tomatoes at them and stoning them didn't work. It didn't slow down the gospel message of Christ. It didn't slow down the message of wholeness. So he said, "All right, I've tried all of that. I've got a wind that I was sinned, and it is a wind of compromise. And the first thing I'll attack will be those things that they have sanctified, those things that they have set apart for the Master's use." The crushing winds of compromise we would like to take. Those convictions you had when you first got saved and crush them and stamp them out and tell you that it doesn't matter anymore and tell you that you have learned better and tell you that you have grown now in the grace of God. It's strange to me how that you can grow in something and be lower than you ever was. Amen. The more I grow, the more Samuel grows, the taller he's going to get till he reaches that height of where his heritage, where the hereditary will let him go. Amen. I about got as tall as I'm going to get. I've started getting a little shorter since the hair started leaving. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you don't grow and get smaller, and you don't grow and get weaker. But when you grow, you get stronger. When you learn more, you get smarter. You've not learned better if you've learned to compromise. You've learned a bad way. You've learned an unholy way. He said, "I'm going to attack those things that were sanctified." He said, "I'll attack the Lord's Day. I'll attack it on the government level, on the city level." Oh, they reverend that day. They said, "We've got a blue law. We're going to, whether people want to or not, they'll have to stay at the house." You ain't been shouting at all. You ain't been shouting a whole lot tonight, so don't expect you to start now. Praise the Lord. Amen. They said, "We'll have a blue law. They don't want to stay at home. They'll have to. They'll go out in the yard and throw a ball or something. They ain't going to come purchase and buy.
We ain't going to sell and trade on the Lord's Day. I'm not talking about the Sabbath. I'm talking about the Lord's Day that God has given to the church. Amen. That first day of the week that Paul told them, to gather your collection together, I'll be coming by. I'm talking about the day that John, the Revelator, was on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, I was in the Spirit upon the Lord's Day, which you'll research the Word of God, you'll find is the first day of the week. That's our day, church. He said that was sanctified. That was a holy day. Amen. They'd go to God's house. They'd worship Him. They wouldn't be clock watchers trying to run in there at 12 o'clock and get out at 12. Amen. They wouldn't worry about that. It's worried about having church. Worried about praying God. Worried about glorifying God. When they got out, they didn't have to worry about. Amen. They wouldn't worry about going to the restaurant because the restaurant wasn't open. Amen. When they got out, they wouldn't worry about going to Walmart because Walmart wasn't open. When they got out, they wouldn't worry about going to this place of entertainment because the place of entertainment was not open. All they had to do was just fellowship a while at church, go home, get them something to eat, lay down and rest so they could come to God's house again later in the day and be fired up and energized and able to worship God and glorify God. Satan said, I'll take that they sanctified. I'll take it away from them as money begin to get in people's eyes, as the dollar begin to be the Lord of our country. We said in God we trust, but we've lied through our teeth. We trust in that in God and trust is rolled upon tonight. We trust in that dollar, and so we'll take away the blue law. We'll take it off the books, or rather than that, we'll just leave it there and go on about our business and make a dollar and make that money. And now that was sanctified, it's no different than any other day of the week. Shopping is just as great as Friday. Shopping is just as great as Saturday. And the business at the restaurants are flourishing because God's people have let that was once sanctified be desecrated in the sight of a holy God. That was once sanctified, the wind of compromise crushed it, and everything that was inside of it is crushed. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He said, I'll get them. I'll work on that he sanctified. He said he sanctified them. First thing he done, he sanctified them. He set them apart. They were dear to him. Convictions were dear to us when we first got saved. The Sabbath was, the Lord's Day was dear to us. Oh, we couldn't wait till it arrived. Couldn't wait till it got here. Couldn't wait to get to the Lord's house. Oh, so excited with our first love. What time does church start? Sunday night, young man, it starts at 6 o'clock. All right, I'll be there about 5, brother. Praise the Lord. Help me preach for a while. Because it was sanctified to me. I want to get there as quick as I can. I want to get there as quick as I can. I walk in that door, I feel like I'm in heaven. I feel like I'm in a holy place. You remember that when you was young in the Lord? You come to God's house, you just come believing this was God's house. You come believing this was God's day. You come early enough, you wanted to get on everything that took place. You wanted to get in on that prayer meeting down by the grass, down by the bushes if they met there. You wanted to get in on that prayer meeting that's having around the altar before church ever started. Oh, but listen, that was holy. That was sanctified.
It doesn't really matter at all to us if we come in after the church is started. It doesn't really matter at all if we walk in God's house late. It doesn't really matter at all if we fail to be there when somebody gives a testimony to praise the living God. It doesn't really matter at all if the Holy Ghost comes down in the choir. It's business as usual. But these things were sanctified one day in our life until it was just awesome to talk about somebody getting in an altar and praying through to the Holy Ghost. It was awesome to hear some saint of God testify and tell of the things of God. It was awesome just to be at God's house. But it seems that it doesn't matter whether we're here or not, since the wind of compromise has blew across some houses in our day. Bless the Lord. Oh. Oh. When I sanctified my ears in those early days, Satan said, I'll destroy that was sanctified. I'll convince him that it's all right to hear a little sly joke, to hear a little dirty joke, not one profane, but just sturdy. Those ears are sanctified. Have to say no. Those winds can blow in such a way that if you're not careful, they will. Tear that house down. They never knew what hit them because they were partying and having a feast. Do you know what feasting is? Do you know what having a party is? Somebody said they had their birthday party, each one on their day. It's not a sin to have a birthday party unless you forget where the honor's supposed to go. It's God that gave you that other year. Amen. But I don't know. Oh, help us, Jesus. I ain't had too many of them. But they were what brought about the sudden alarm. What brought about the sudden destruction so that it could be printed across their tombstone, never knew what hit them. You've heard the story of people in car accidents. They said they never knew what hit them. In reality, they didn't. They never knew what hit them. These children, the sons and the daughters of Job, never knew what hit them. Why? Because they were feasting. They were occupied with something besides reality. That's how the wind of compromise will come and destroy your faith, will just take that hedge away from you, and he'll get all the way in there on you. And he'll cause you in your heart to curse God. Oh, no, I never curse God. You wouldn't with your mouth. But you would with your actions if the wind of compromise hits you just right. Am I telling the truth, Brother Mike? Hallelujah. They didn't know what hit them because they wasn't listening to the weather report. I wrote a children's thing a long time ago. The name of it was Billy Put Off Jones. Y'all listening, children? Y'all wave at me. Wake up. Listen. Billy Put Off Jones lived down on the coastline. In this story, the weather report gave on the radio, there's a hurricane coming, you need to get out of town. Billy Put Off Jones, by his name, you know how he was. He put things off. He turned the radio off and said, I'll just wait till in the morning. Well, they begin a demanding evacuation of the area. And so they called Mr. Jones and said, Mr. Jones, you must leave. This is what they call it, a Evacuation. This is a mandatory evacuation. Oh, thank you. And hung up and he said to himself, I'll wait till in the morning. And so they sent the fireman over there to Billy put off Jones' place. And said, Mr. Jones, you've got to leave. The storm's coming. Go on, leave me alone. I'll wait till in the morning. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. But the wind of compromise was coming. They sent the policeman by. Big, robust policeman come by and said, you're going to have to leave, Mr. Jones. The wind is coming. I'll be all right. I'll leave in the morning. They saw they had no avail with him, so they called his brother that lived far off in the northern states. He said, Mr. Jones, we understand that you and your brother Billy is very close and he listens to you. He won't listen to us. Would you call him and tell him of the immense danger that his life is in? He must evacuate immediately. So Billy's brother called him. He said, brother, I love you. You must evacuate. Billy put off Jones, said, I love you dearly, but I will wait till the end of the morning. I'm okay. Then we had sound effects when we did this, and we had the wind started blowing in the background. The wind started blowing, and Sister Morgan was the narrator, and she was reading it. Oh, you ought to have been there. And as the winds was getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, all of a sudden the lights go out in the house. There's a crash. And when the lights come back on, we see Mr. Billy put off Jones. He's laying under the rubble of his house with a lifeless arm sticking out from under it because he put it off. I'm telling you about the crushing wind of compromise. You can be haughty and mighty in your heart, I can too, and say it won't happen to me. But if you put off when the Spirit of God deals with your heart to evacuate from that area that you're in your life, if you'll be, oh, it'll never happen to me. I'll never give in to the lust of the flesh. I'll never give in to the things of the flesh. I'll never give in to the worldly attire. I'll never give in to the things that are sin. I'll never do it. But when God begins to talk to your heart in a small, still voice telling you that that wind is blowing close by your property, you better evacuate that area in a hurry and find yourself an altar and plead the blood of Jesus and cry out for wisdom and understanding and strength of the Holy Ghost to overcome that wind of compromise that's coming your way. Those things that were sanctified. And the wind blew. The wind blew. The wind blew. In 1948, the Church of God made a declaration that if a woman had bobbed hair, would she be allowed to preach in the Church of God? I got it in the minutes back there. They said she must stop her preaching immediately until her hair grows back out. But the wind of compromise doesn't matter anymore, but does it? The foundation that brought that about is still solid. The foundation that they built that upon is still solid. And it is still, oh, help us, Jesus. He's after that that's been set apart. He's after that that has been made holy in our hearts and lives. Brother Leon Buzzard preached on putting God back in His place. I thought, what a disrespectful title. But I listened to him and I understood. In our hearts, God can be big or God can be small. In our hearts, God can be holy or He can be just to be a Santa Claus. In our heart, God can be mighty or God can be weak. God's always mighty. He's always strong. He's always holy. He's always righteous. But the way we view God is going to be the way that we live for God. I hope you don't think I'm mean tonight. I feel a holy, holy God a prompting me. Hallelujah. That crowd Sunday needs this, don't they, Sister Perkins? Praise the Lord. Call them up, get them a tape, that's all I can say. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to see the wind as it's blowing. But you see, you can't see the wind that's blowing. You can't see it. That fan's a turning. There's something coming from those blades. I can't see it coming from those blades, but I know it's coming. Sister Louise Edwards knows it's coming under there, and she says, would you turn that fan off? I can't take all that wind. Why, she can't see it, but she knows it's coming from those blades. Satan has blades this evening, and he's swinging those blades. He's out to cut and to devour and destroy. Oh, Jesus, I'm crying out tonight to us. Amen. Don't take it so serious, Brother Morgan. We've got to. We're living in the latter times. We're in the latter hour. The wind of compromise is wanting to blow right in our back door. It's wanting to blow in our side doors. It's wanting to blow over your telephone line. One way or another, it's trying to blow and destroy that house of holiness, that house of godliness, that stand for God that you have made through these years. He's out to take that that was sanctified, and then there was something that Job had there. He had that that he made priority. Priority. You see, he sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. He had a priority before I eat my breakfast. I'm going to do this. Before I drink my coffee, I'm going to do this. Before I kiss my wife good morning, I'm going to do this. He had that priority. He rose up early in the morning. It was his priority to make those sacrifices. We have priorities tonight as children of God, but the wind of compromise would like for us to start shifting and moving the numbers around different from what they originally were. Let me testify. Got saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. Had a little job on the side. Make a little spending money. For a 16-year-old, that was fabulous. Praise the Lord. 16-year-olds don't make a lot of money living out in the country where I was at. So when there's hay to be hauled, I was aiming to haul some hay. So there I go. I'm hauling some hay. The pastor and evangelist tell me, said, now, Dennis, Lloyd's probably what they call me. They said, we're going to be having a hot dog supper early Friday at 5 o'clock. Church is going to start at 7, but we're going to do this for the young folks because we like the young folks. We appreciate the young folks. Amen. We're going to have some hot dogs for them. Praise the Lord. I said, well, brother said, I'm going to be hauling hay about 5 o'clock. Now, to fellowship with young folks was top. You understand? You had to understand a young person's heart. I mean, that was glorious. Hot dogs. And young people, they just go together. That's the reason you have something downstairs. You got hot dogs to go with all the other food. Because kids like hot dogs. And they like to be among one another. They fuss at each other sometimes. And it takes us a while to get mom and dad settled down after it. Y'all didn't hear that. I said, sometimes they get in a fight and they bump into one another and they run over one another and they run off in the wild blue yonder and go to playing again. It takes us a little while to get the sanctified mom and dad re-sanctified. Ooh, I'm going to preach for a while tonight. Glory to God. Some things ought not to be. We ought to straighten the kids out and then go happily ever after loving in the love of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, back to the story. Hot dogs. We're going to have them, Brother Morgan. I said, Dennis Lloyd, I said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be hauling hay and I won't make it to your hot dog supper. Bad as I wanted to, but I felt like I needed to make a little money. I said, but don't you worry 1 minute about it. I'll be there at 7. I had some priorities. How many today of our young people would not miss the hot dog supper, but would miss the prayer meeting? And how many of our older young people that's already past the middle age spread age and gone into the older age would miss the prayer meeting but would not miss the cookout? Didn't know I was going here, but may I stay here for a while? How many of us older young ladies, older gentlemen and ladies in the Lord tonight would not dare miss the meal, wouldn't miss that homecoming meal? We wouldn't miss that whatever other meal we might have, wouldn't miss that time of fellowship. But something just happened to detain us when the church-wide prayer meeting was called. It's always been amazing in the Holiness Church, in the Baptist Church, I guess everywhere you got people called by the name of Christ, how the crowd is always bigger when there's a meal spread than when there is a spiritual demand to meet. Brother Elgin told me over there where he'd been preaching, he said they've been cooking every Wednesday night and having big crowds. He said, but they quit cooking and the crowds have fell off tremendously. That's not his exact words, but that's my interpretation of how he put it. They have felt, why did they do that? The wind of compromise began to shift their priorities of what they wanted to do. Job had a priority because he was a righteous man. He was a perfect man. Next time that individual tells you they ain't never been but one perfect man, they crucified him, tell him to read Job 1 and 1 if it's in his Bible. And if it's not, give him one that's got it in it. And then you can go over there and talk to him about Noah for a little while. Was it Noah that was perfect in all his generations? Let me go on. He sacrificed. The devil said, if I can get them, if I can destroy that they have sacrificed to where they'll not sacrifice any more, then I'll have that building tore down and I'll have the man of God to where he'll yield. But this man of God was on a solid foundation. He would not yield. But those things that we've sacrificed in the past, those things that we've sacrificed for God, the devil's wanting to blow that wind upon you tonight and say, you don't have to sacrifice that like that no more. You don't have to sacrifice like that no more. That was the olden day. It's still God's days that we're living in. In Job 42, verse 10 and 12, we see the result of withstanding the wind of compromise. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him sisters, all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, twice as many, 6,000 camels, twice as many, 1,000 yoke of oxen, twice as many, and 1,000 she asses, twice as many. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God replaced them with 7 more and 3 more. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Kurin Habuk, and in all the land. This is what I was wanting to get to. Y'all pronounce it like you want to when you get home. And in all the land, there was no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. How did Job have inheritance to give to his daughters? Because that wind, physical wind, though it destroyed his children, that seducing wind did not destroy his faith. You believe what I'm telling you tonight. You've seen it already. But that wind is not going to slack up. But until Jesus comes, it's going to blow stronger and stronger and stronger. It doesn't care, Sister Ruby, how long you've been in here. It'll blow. It'll blow. It doesn't care, Sister Perkins, Sister Grace, how long y'all been in this thing. That wind will blow. It might not affect you as sudden as it would a younger convert, but it'll affect you if you don't evacuate and get out of its path. You know that. You remember that. The next time you plan to go to a meeting, and you check it out and see what kind of spirit, what kind of ministry is going to be there before you step into that storm zone where the wind of compromise is blowing. Brother Morgan, should we get us a coven, a big hole somewhere, and just hide? We're in this world and we're not of this world. But we must fellowship outside of the wind of compromise. Can you say amen? We must listen. Be careful what we listen to. Be careful who we listen to that's got a Bible in their hand. I know that, Brother Morgan. Holy Ghost said to remind them. You know those that dwell among you. He said to try the spirits to know whether they are of God or not. And every spirit that makes a man run down the aisle and jump across the pews is not God, just because they run and they jumped. Did you know that Satan quoted Scripture to Jesus in the wilderness? We're in a scary time. I come by tonight to tell you that. We're in a very dangerous hour. Prayer should be our priority. Reading God's Word, studying God's Word, a priority. I've been stirred up since I went up to East Gastonia. Brother Hudson said, I've been praying for revival in my home. I said, God, that'll do for him, that'll do for me. I saw right there, back there behind Brother Michael what was a part of that result of him praying for revival in their home. That little darling got the Holy Ghost. I'm praying that this one will get the Holy Ghost. In the house, here, in the car, doesn't matter. But we need revival in our homes. Your little ones need the Holy Ghost. Your little ones need the Holy Ghost. You need to have revival in your home. So that when they get to church, this is a familiar thing going on. That same thing is going on in the house. Even walking through that house, Brother Mark, they can sense the power and the urgency of the moment. I need more of God. Are you listening to me tonight? Jesus is coming, and He's coming for the pure in heart. He's coming for a bride that hath made herself ready. I got to be aware of the wind that's blowing around me. They're aware now in Florida. If Charlie didn't do enough damage, Frances will come do her part. Now they're aware that Ivan is just as obliged to do some harm as the other two was. Our enemy's not called Charlie. He's not called Francis. He's not called Ivan. He's called Satan. He's called an angel of light. That means, Brother Artie, he's pretty to the natural eye. That means that he comes in a way that looks so right, so real. Surely, that's no evil in that. Oh, but listen, Sister Pam's not in here to defend herself, but I hope it's all right, Brother Jasper. She's just talking about Rebecca. She's probably back there listening. Glory to God, I don't get it just right, but I think I got it close enough to be right. Amen. Rebecca, how small Rebecca is. How old is she? 4 months old. But she said, I've already recognized when she starts drawing up to throw a fit. And she said, I'm already correcting her about that. Oh no, they're too young, they're too small to correct. Oh no, you're wrong. If they're big enough to bow up and express that Adam nature, they're big enough to be popped. I'm not saying beat and hurt. You can't pop a little one too hard, but they'll know what correction is. They'll know what no is if you'll start at a young age and not let them tell you what to do when they get older. My, this thing has a lot of territory to preach on. Amen. But you see, that's the horrible mystery of it all. The wind of compromise. We think they look so sweet, but then we fail to recognize when the Adam nature's blowing up and coming up in them. You better recognize that before they get too old to handle. You better recognize that before they get too old to handle. You know what stopped Ashley Don East Morgan from messing around with whatnots? Oh, you got a little one now. She's up to crawling age. You're going to have to start moving everything off the shelves. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. She was told not to bother them, and she didn't bother them except one. Sister Morgan shared this enough you can tell me, but I'm going to tell you. Praise the Lord. She had something about that magazine rack was exciting to her. So she'd go crawling over there to it. Here she'd go. Mama take that little hand and pop it. Now she wouldn't hurt the, you know, she wouldn't slap it. It's just a little pop. She'd kind of whine a little bit. We all did it. Ashley, don't look at me like that. Praise the Lord. We've all been babies at one time or another. Oh, I'm running out of tape. Y'all pray for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But she popped her. And she whined a little bit. And she'd go right back to it. Well, I can't do a thing with her. I guess I'll just let her play with it. You know, that's the reason some of our children and grandchildren can't be controlled today. Because we wasn't consecutive. We didn't stay right on them, but she stayed on her. She'd crawl and she'd pop that little hand. She'd turn around and look, and there she goes again. That Adam nature was rising up, and that thing has to be mastered. The wind of compromise will tell you, no, no, you can't do it. But the power of God says it can be done. And so finally she woke up to reality. Part Indian on her hand. Amen. She's red-skinned, Brother Dawn. Nothing against Indians. You know, but she's beginning to be red-skinned there. Wasn't no bruise. Wasn't no scar. Wasn't no broken flesh. But you can pat my hand a little bit and it'll turn red. But I'll know why you're doing it after a while. So she quit. Because the wind of compromise would have loved to say, oh, there's no use. There's no use. Lord, how'd I get over there? There I am. Praise the Lord. We're living what I'm telling you, the wind of compromise. The enemy is on the job. He ain't going to sleep until he destroys somebody. He'd like to destroy your children, your grandchildren.